Hey, what's up, Fire Branded fam? Man, it's good to be back on here and just creating some new content. And I really like the subject we're talking about today, about navigating through, you know, just a dry season spiritually. But before we dig too deep into it, do me a favor, hit the subscribe button and help us just grow the, grow the Fire Branded movement, if you will, or what it is we're doing here with our podcast and just trying to get some stuff that hopefully helps people out there. So if it blesses you, definitely share it with somebody, hit the like button and definitely subscribe if you would. So anyways, well, let's dig in. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, recently, you know, a lot of times as pastors, a lot of pastors don't want to talk about like the real stuff, like what's really going on. But, you know, last year I had a little season in my life where like I felt dry. Like it was like, it's hard to explain. It was just like, you know, still felt the anointing and still preaching and doing my thing. But just kind of felt dry on the inside, like spiritually not, just not with it like normally in a lot of ways, a little bit overwhelmed by life, circumstances, situations. And I was just thinking about that, like, how can I tell my story and maybe help somebody? How can I share like some of the things that God spoke to me that helped me navigate through it? Because I know I'm not the only one that goes through those moments. I know I'm not the only one that has these dry seasons spiritually where you just feel like things aren't going your way and you don't even know, like, how do I connect with God here? What's the answer? And so hopefully today I can help you a little bit by just sharing a little bit of what I learned. And hit me with some comments if there's something, maybe you're watching and there's something you've been through a season like this and there's something that you have done that helped you, or maybe something you tried to do that didn't work, like let us know. And and if you're in a season right now where you're like, help, then, you know, just put something in there. We will pray for you. We will pray for you. I will pray for you. We have our team will pray for you. We definitely would love to just partner with you in the hope of tomorrow. And so anyways, if you're new here, I'm Pastor Brandon. So we have Fire Branded Ministries. I'm in Lawrence, Kansas. We also pastor a church called Freedom Church here. And it's a strong, growing church we planted just a few years ago. But God is doing something cool. And then we have our Fire Branded, you know, I have the ministry, the Fire Branded Ministries. We have a school training center, and we're just doing it for Jesus. Amen. And trying to raise people up into their best selves is how God sees them so they can go impact the world that they live in. And so if you want to connect with that, you can go to firebranded.me. But I don't want to dive too much into that stuff. I just kind of putting it out there in case you wanted to connect. But let's talk about this. Let me share. So as I said, I went through a little bit of a season where things were just kind of tough. Like I just didn't know. And I've been in ministry for 20 plus years. And so I've been through a lot of different ebbs and flows, ups and downs, been on the mountain, been on the valley, as they say in church. But this was tough. It was tough. I just, you know, I didn't feel like I could find God anywhere. And the truth is, God was never hiding from me. And that's what I want you to know. If you feel that way right now, God is not hiding from you. He's not that type of God. He's not up there keeping a record of right or wrong and being like, well, they didn't do this today, so I'm going to hold back or I'm going to do. No, God is always there just waiting for us to reach out to him. And so that's what I would say first and foremost is if you're in that season, you say, but I have been reaching out. I've been asking him to do this and do this. That's what I hope today is like to get us into a place where we're not necessarily asking him to do anything other than help us. Because sometimes we kind of put God in a box because we kind of put like a metric system out there that he needs to meet certain metrics for us to feel like we're being helped. But the truth is, like, God doesn't always do it the way that we think it should be done or even how we think it's going to be done. And I think sometimes we miss God because we're looking at the wrong address, you know. We're looking over here and he's over here trying to do something for us. And so I would encourage you as you listen to this to have an open mind and just realize God is not hiding from you. God is wanting to be there for you. I promise you. And so, you know, maybe you're saying, well, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm in a dressing room. Maybe I'm not. I don't, you know, I'm not sure. Is it just life? Well, you know, here's a few things you might feel if you're kind of spiritually dry. You know, connecting to God is definitely harder when we're in a dry season. It's like, it's a little harder to get into worship. It's, you know, you in the places where you used to maybe watch a YouTube video or watch, you know, something uplifting or turn on your worship music, you find yourself scrolling a little bit longer or watching, you know, some random YouTube videos or TikTok or whatever. And so you find yourself doing those things in place of what used to be moments that you would be spiritual. And so that's a tell right there that something is shifting and transitioning in your heart into like a drier place. And so we'll see that you start, and what happens is we kind of start feeling empty on the inside and depleted. Like there's not enough of us throughout the day. We're kind of tired all the time. You know, you'll feel those types of things. Those are, you know, those can be physical things, like you can be sick or something like that, but we're not talking about that today. We're talking about being spiritually in a dry season, and what to do when you're in that place and how to navigate that. And so if you're feeling some of those things, just far from God, empty, depleted, tired, like you can't hear from God, you feel really overwhelmed with, like, maybe you're a volunteer at a church, maybe you do things for the Lord, and you just feel overwhelmed, like you're feeling like you're hitting burnout. You know, a lot of times we think burnout is because we're being overworked, but, and it can be, I've definitely been there. But a lot of times spiritual burnout comes because we're not spiritually replenishing our supply. And what we do is we take the work we're doing for the Lord and substitute that for our personal devotion. And when our personal devotion to God starts suffering, oh, we'll notice it in like lots of areas in our life. And a lot of times it's just as simple as getting back to your personal devotion, getting back to, you know, the place where you just want to worship God. You know, you just want to connect with Him. You want to love on Him. And then what happens is the work we're doing for the Lord, it doesn't produce burnout, but it's, we find our rest in Him, because you can rest while you're working for the Lord. Absolutely. You don't have to go through burnout. I know we need times of physical rest as well, but I'm talking about something a little different here. So, you know, let me say this, you know, we all go through seasons like this. So I don't want you to feel bad. Don't beat yourself up. And the truth is, you might be the reason you're going through this. You might have made some decisions. There might be some unchecked sin in your life. You might know full well what the starting point was, where you started to derail a little bit and get yourself in this. Or it could be something completely out of your control, like a life event that just hits you extra hard. And you're like, you know what? I wasn't expecting that to have that type of impact on me. But it did. And so you find yourself now responding to that impact in kind of a negative way, because we're allowing that life event to create separation between us and God. And that's kind of what produces that dryness. And so it could be your own fault. It might not be your fault. But regardless, if you're in the season and you're in this place where you just feel like it's not clicking, I got hope for you. There's hope. You don't have to get stuck. You don't have to go through it however many more days or weeks or months. It's not your lot in life. It's not, you know, well, I'm just in a valley moment. You know, God absolutely will take the trials of our life to teach us things, and He will prove Himself in the midst of our tribulations and our trials. But there's not time stamps on it. It's not like, well, you have to do this. I think it's good to understand that if there's a lesson to be learned, let's learn it so we can move on. You know, I'm afraid that what we kind of do sometimes, guys, listen to me. I'm afraid that what we kind of do sometimes is we try to kind of shuck responsibility of ourselves and kind of put a lot of things on God and the devil for, well, God just wants this, or the devil's doing this. And a lot of times what we're doing is we're shirking responsibility to walk in obedience, to stay disciplined in our personal devotion, to stay connected to God at the source, to be content with where He's brought us to. And it's a lot easier to let somebody else take the blame than it is for us to take ownership. And I don't know, that's just one area. I know that's not every situation, but I just felt like, you know, I wanted to say that. So anyways, you know, I believe this is going to help you today. And already, I believe if you're feeling some of this, just by hearing some of the words that are coming out, God is already speaking to you. He's already talking to you. I know He is. He's already talking to you, and He's already showing you things. And you're probably already feeling some relief, at least some hope. You know, because a lot of times we just need some hope. We need to know that somebody else gets it, somebody else has been through it, somebody else understands, and there's hope. And obviously our hope is in Christ, and He is who we look to. When the verse says, look into the hills where your help comes from, our help comes from the Lord. And so that's ultimately what we're going to do. But I know you're already receiving those things. And yeah, so, you know, this world is full of stuff, man. It's full of life, and it's all, you know, and there is an adversary out there who's trying to get you to stumble in this thing, trying to get you to, you know, slip up and mess up. But there's one who is faithful, who will see you through every situation. And I was thinking about John 16:33. It's one of my favorite verses in scripture. But he says, you know, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. You know, Jesus is talking to them about trials and tribulations, and He's about to say something really cool right here that we're about to read. But He's saying that you might have peace. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you distraught. He doesn't want you dry. He doesn't want you stale. He doesn't want you struggling. He wants you to have peace. He is peace, and He wants to put peace on you. And so He gives us promise after promise in Scripture about how when we turn to Him, when we allow Him to be Lord, even in our struggles, even in the dry seasons, we allow Him to be Lord. Peace can be our portion. And so what he says, you know, I want you to have peace. But He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Or some versions say, in this world, you will have trouble. And then He says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. I love this verse because it kind of speaks to something here where He says, in this world, you will have trouble. But He doesn't address the trouble, if you'll notice that. He doesn't address the symptom here. He addresses the root, which is the world. So He says, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble, but fear not, because I've overcome the world. And I want you to grab that for just a second and think about that, because a lot of times we, in our prayer, in our thoughts, in our asking of God, a lot of times we're really like looking for God to deal with our symptoms. We want the trouble gone when He's trying to take care of the world for us. He wants the root of what your situation is so that He can work on it and deal with it in a way that it won't come back and get you again. And so that's why I said earlier, we got to get outside the box and realize that God wants to meet our needs. He just might meet it. It might look different. And so one of the things I believe we have to do to overcome, and I'll talk to that about that in a minute, is we got to ask God to reveal the root of a problem. What is the moment? What do we do to start getting ourselves down this path so that we can see the path out of there? And I just think that's important to grab in that verse. Another verse, James 4:8, that is another really cool verse. And you guys, you know, if you're a church person, you've heard this. If you're not, grab hold of this. James 4:8. He says, draw near to God. If you will draw near to God, He will draw near to you. He will draw near to you. It's this really cool thing that if you reach your hands out, God reaches His out. If you cry out, God responds. Whatever it is, however it is that you draw near, He wants to draw near to you. However it is, whatever it takes to that cry for help, that cry of hope, or whatever it is, man, if you'll draw near to him, he will draw near to you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's just not going to do that. That's not in his nature. But, you know, one of the things about this verse that's kind of compelling to me is I hear it all the time. James 4, hey, draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. You just need to draw near to God. You just need to draw near to God. But the verse doesn't stop there. And I find that intriguing because what he says is he says, not draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. But then he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And, you know, I could go into like the fact that we all sin, which we do. And some of the reasons we end up in dry seasons is because of unchecked sin in our life. And so that can definitely apply here. But I want to look at this double-minded thing for a minute because one of the keys that I want to start with that's going to break you out of your dry season is you've got to become single-minded about what God has to say about you and not be double-minded. You can't be entertaining carnal thoughts and God thoughts at the same time. They don't co-mingle. God is trying to say this about you. God's trying to say you're blessed. God's trying to say you're whole. God's trying to say you're delivered. God's trying to say he loves you. And the carnal thoughts are you're never going to get out of this. God has distanced himself from you. He never really loved you. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. There's no way you're going to get out of this situation. And God's saying, I've already made a way. And so you have these two thoughts. It's like, you know, like the little devil and the angel on your shoulders or whatever. But that's really happening. And the thing is, we miss out on so much of the victory that God wants to bring us because of our double-mindedness. And so I would just tell you, one of the key things you're going to have to do to navigate this, the dry season or whatever it is that you may be going through, is you can't be double-minded. You got to get singularly focused. You have to get your mind set on God. Set on the Lord, set on his will, plan, and purpose for your life, what he has to say about you. So we got to take those carnal thoughts captive. We can't let them, you know, we just can't let them entertain. We can't let them do just what they want to do, which is wreck us and destroy us, keep us depleted, keep us overwhelmed, keep us dry. No, we got to get out of double-mindedness. You know, there's a couple things that you know, the Lord kind of reminded me of when I was struggling with this, guys. I was double-minded, you know, because I just, you know, I couldn't make up my mind, like, is this like God, right? Like, is this, what is this trial? Is this, what am I doing wrong? What am I, you know, I'm wondering, okay, God, where are you? You see the torment I'm in, you know, and at the same time, I'm like, but this, you know, I just don't know what to do because it looks like this, and I know what the word says, but it looks like this, and like, you know, double-mindedness is a killer. It's a killer. I know that, but God had to remind me of something. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's not slack on his job. He hasn't gone anywhere. He didn't leave me, and he hasn't left you. I want you to know that. And when we start being single-minded and coming out of agreement with those carnal thoughts, you'll automatically see a transition. You will automatically see things begin to shift. When you move, listen, I want you to listen to me right here. If you will come out of agreement with carnal thoughts and set your mind singularly on what God is saying to you, you will see this begin to break in your life. You will see the dryness, the staleness, the struggle begin to fracture and begin to break just as you quit being double-minded and move into a singular focus, a singular agreement, not in agreement with carnality, but in agreement with what God says. So I want you right now to break that agreement with those thoughts that you're having that aren't from God. And we'll see double-mindedness begin to break off of you. Come on, can you do that? Just do that right now where you are. I'll just pause a second. Just say, I come out of agreement with this thought, this thought, this thought, whatever they are. So as you do that, remember I said that God, you know, he wants to get to the root of things. And so I was thinking about this, like, how did I get here? You know, how did I get there? How did I get to that place? How did you get to where your situation, right? How did you get there? And you know, there's a few things that apply to me and some that don't, but there's a broad list that can, something in there applies to us. And some of those are, how do we get there? A lot of times it's unchecked sin. It's carnal mindedness that we yield to. And so the lusts of the flesh start making choices over what the Spirit is trying to say and do. You know, the Bible tells us that the flesh is weak and the Spirit is willing. The Spirit always wants to honor God and the flesh always wants to go against God. The Bible tells us that the flesh and the Spirit are in constant enmity or battle with one another. And so usually if there's unchecked sin, we usually don't start with just unchecked sin. Usually there's this pattern that gets us to a place where that sin nature starts creeping up, and it could be a life event that happens. We could get ourselves too busy where we're distracted. And what happens is, whether it's a life event, you know, a traumatic event, it could be a new job. It could be a new relationship. It could be something that just has us too busy. What happens is, where we have to make more time for the new thing or for the life event, too many times we pull that time from God. We don't adjust our time to keep God in a proper amount of time and find other areas to make time up. Instead, we're like, well, you know what? I could do this on Sunday. Maybe I won't go to church. Yeah, I usually read my Bible for this amount of time, but you know what? I'll just do a little short devotion, you know, and you know what? I didn't really have time to pray today. I'll throw some worship music on and just, you know, I'll sing a couple songs or whatever. It's small choices, and none of those things are bad, obviously, but it's small choices that we make because of the busyness of life, because of life events, because of traumatic things in our life. We make decisions that actually detract from our relationship with God instead of pulling that time from other places. And so what happens is, when we start slacking in our prayer life, in our personal devotion, in our Bible reading, in our worship, when we start slacking in those areas, what happens is we get kind of drained because we're not being replenished spiritually. And so those life events, those things we're going through, even our volunteer work at the church or whatever, it starts taking a lot out of us. It starts draining us. And the more drained you get emotionally, mentally, emotionally, physically, the more drained you get, the more susceptible you are to the lusts of the flesh and unchecked sin. And I'm not just talking about like egregious things, guys, like when you're thinking lust of the flesh, you start, you know, you say the word lust and people automatically, well, I don't struggle with lust. No, the Bible calls it the lusts of the flesh, which is not just sexual impurities, but it's a whole lot of things. It's division, it's strife, it's lying, it's anger, it's fighting, it's bickering, it's all sorts of things of that nature. It's things the flesh, if you think about it, our response to things in life are either spiritual or carnal. And when they're spiritual, our spirit knows it, and there's like, we feel good about it, right? But when our response to something comes from the flesh, man, the spirit doesn't feel good. We might feel good for a minute, but notice that feeling never sticks with you. And so, So what happens is we start allowing ourselves to slacken our personal devotion, our prayer time, reading the word, serving, going to church. All those areas start suffering. And the more they suffer, the more dry you become. And the more unchecked the root of your problem is. So the symptoms get bigger because we're not keeping the root problem in check. And we're not really able to keep it in check because we're not where we need to be with the Lord. We're not in that place that we need to be spiritually with Him. And so the good news is you don't have to stay there. That's the good news. I think oftentimes we're really good at maintaining certain areas in our life. You know, it's like, I don't struggle in this area at all, but there's other areas you do struggle in. I think we're all like that. And the truth is you have to maintain every area of your walk with God. You can't be hyper-focused on just what you're good at, but there's areas in your life you know you struggle. And so you have to do extra sometimes in those areas. Sometimes you have to be like, you know what? I don't really like to pray. I have a hard time staying put for, you know, more than a couple of minutes. Sometimes you just have to, I think sometimes we make a lot of excuses. I said that earlier about, you know, blaming God or giving the devil too much credit. When the truth is there's something called personal discipline and personal devotion. And so whether you can't over spiritualize everything and be like, well, you know what? I just don't feel like praying today. You know, I prayed for a couple of minutes. I know I usually do longer than that, but you know, I'm just not feeling it. It don't matter what you're feeling. Is a flesh thing. Feeling is a flesh thing. Feeling is not the truth of God's word. So it doesn't matter what you feel like. Your spiritual discipline says, you know what? I know I need this. The spirit needs this and my flesh needs to come into submission to it. And we have to apply that to every area of our life. And if you think about it, I was thinking about as God was kind of going with that, through that with me, because I had to work at that. I had to yield in some areas and really really crucify the flesh and say, you know what? I don't really want to do that today, but I'm going to do it. Because I know it's going to edify my spirit and it's going to glorify God. And so that seems simple. I know you're probably like, man, I wish He would just give me a prophetic word or this spiritual revelation that would just break the dry season off of me. And you know what? Sometimes that happens. Most of the time, you have to stay faithful in those moments. Remember, Jesus said, or it's written in Scripture, James said, to count it all joy when we fall into various trials. And that sounds crazy, I know. He tells us to be patient. He said, let patience have its perfect work. That when this thing is over, you'll be missing nothing, lacking nothing. That's what He says. God wants you to persevere and come out on top, not die in the situation. Trust me, you're not going to die. You just have to be willing to like suck it up a little bit and not strive for it, but learn how to rest in God and realize the why or how you got there, because that's important. You know, if it's a life event, maybe you lost a family member or something. There might be some forgiveness, man. So let go of some bitterness, something like that, that's causing you not be able to finish the grieving process, or, you know, a traumatic event, in a relationship breaks up or something of that nature. You know, there's life events I know that happen, but even in those, we have a responsibility to allow God to work within us. And God doesn't force Himself on you. God wants to work through you to accomplish certain things. And one of them is accomplish freedom and happiness in your life. God wants you to walk in joy. And so we just have to make the choice sometimes. And so we have to work on these areas. I was thinking in, the verse in Romans chapter 12. Oh, excuse me. Romans chapter 12. And I was thinking about how we're a soul, spirit, body, right? And how we're kind of good at maintaining certain areas, but not other areas. And when you talk about dryness, spiritual dryness, they can actually come from, the root could be in one of these three places. So when we think about the soulish realm, we think about what's called our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when something traumatic happens, when a life event happens, it tugs on our emotions, or, you know, bad mindsets, you know, like we're we're being double-minded. We're not in agreement with what God says, but we're in agreement with what somebody else is saying, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Or we just don't like what God's telling us to do. Or maybe it's like, I don't want to go that direction, so I'm going to go this direction. Well, when you go against the will of God and you get in disobedience, you're kind of opening the door to go through a season you don't want to go through. And so we have to work in these areas of our soulish realm, our mind, will, and emotions, to keep them surrendered to God, to keep them surrendered to God. And then in the spirit, we got to feed the spirit. We have to feed the spirit. It needs replenished, revitalized, renewed. And we see, we'll look at some scriptures on that here in just a minute, but and then the body. This is one we don't really like to talk about. I know for me, this is a struggle, but what are we putting in our body? Is what we're putting in our body causing us to feel lethargic, to feel like overwhelmed, to feel like we don't have energy? You know, that could be the source. It could have nothing to do with anything other than you're not taking care of yourself. And I know for me, that was a portion of my life. You know, I'm not the smallest guy now, but I've lost some weight in my, you know, just about a year and a half ago, I was pre-diabetic. My sugars were going not where they needed to be, and looking at probably medicine or whatever. But I was like, you know what? No, let's get the body in subjection. And I was tired all the time, guys. I was, man, not taking care of your physical self will lead to spiritual dehydration, I promise. And so I decided I was going to change that with diet. And so I didn't go on a crazy diet. I just made some changes, some health conscious changes, lost 20 something pounds, still working on losing weight, but I've got all my numbers where they need to be. I'm healthy for all intents and purposes. I'm pretty healthy. All my numbers are good. Still got a journey to go with my, you know, physical attributes, but it matters, guys. Every one of these areas matters: soul, spirit, body. We have to, that's why it's so important to find the root, to see where this thing originated at. How did we end up in this place? And when we do, then we can start working on fixing it, okay? So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This verse says so much about what I'm talking about. How our prayer life, our personal devotion, reading the word, like those types of things, how they build us up and strengthen us. I love, you know, God told Joshua, he said, be strong and courageous, you know. And sometimes when we're in the middle of a dry season, we don't feel very strong or courageous. But man, I just want to say that to you right now. Be strong and courageous. Get in and find the place where you need to start making some pivots in your life. Maybe it's your mindsets. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's in your spiritual walk. I don't know, but I know God wants to bring you out of the dry season. I know you're not meant to stay there. I know you're not meant to continue to walk in that, but God wants to refresh you. He wants to renew you. He wants to rehydrate you so that you can keep running this thing, you know? And so, so a few things that I kind of wrote down. So like, so what's the answer? So what do we do? You know, you kind of told me how I got here, kind of, you know, we talked about a few different things. I told you a little bit about my story, but so what's the answer? How do we actually get some help navigating these times? And so some of the things I'm about to say, I've already said, but I'm just going to recap them, rehash them. I'm going to share just a few things with you. But the first one is this: come out of agreement with carnal thoughts. I need you to do that. I need you to not be double-minded. You need to come out. You need to break agreement with that carnal mindedness, with the thoughts that are being planted there by people, by the enemy's voice, the tormenting. Come out of agreement with double-mindedness and get in agreement with what God has to say. And you have the ability to do that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if something is saying, if you're hearing something that's contrary to the knowledge of what God says, then you have to take that captive. What does that mean, take that captive? You have to say, no, I don't come in agreement with that. I snatch that thought before it sets anywhere in me and settles, and it's got to go in the name of Jesus. Come on. 2 Timothy 1:7 says you don't have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Come on, I'm speaking that over you right now. Power, love, sound mind. Fear has to go. And so maybe you need to come out of agreement with fear right now. Right where you are, just say, I come out of agreement with fear. I do not have a spirit of fear because my Bible tells me God said I don't. But I have power, love, and a sound mind. And that would be the first thing I tell you is like come out of agreement with that stuff. And then as you come out of agreement with that, you're going to be in a better place to do number two, which is turn to God with a full heart. Turn to Him with a full heart, like not partially, not, well, I hope He gets it done, or let me see, or, you know, like, well, if things don't change too quickly, you know, I don't know. No, a full heart. Turn to Him with a full heart. Give Him a real shot to work in your life, and He will. I promise He will. So turn to God with a full heart. I think too many times we look to God, and when things don't change quickly, we turn to other people. And what I mean is when we're not getting victory through a season or situation, what happens is we start growing weary, and then we want people to have sympathy with our situation. And so we'll start telling people about it. We'll start, you know, it's one thing to seek counsel, and it's one thing to ask somebody to pray about it, but come on, man, I've been in those coffee shops. I've been in those situations where people gather around and you're like, hey, let's get together and pray about something. And you talk for 45 minutes and pray for five. And, you know, we're just, a lot of times we're just coming in agreement with what life is throwing at us. We're just coming in agreement with the season. Instead of taking those thoughts captive, getting rid of double-mindedness, turning to God with a full heart, and then with those people that are with you, say, come on, I need you to agree in prayer with me. This thing has to break in the name of Jesus. I'm moving out of this season. I'm not in agreement with you anymore. I need some people of faith to work with me. And so I know if the flesh wants comfort. The flesh wants like sympathy, but God isn't trying to give you sympathy. God's trying to give you an answer that will break you free from whatever it is that you're struggling with. And then thirdly, I would say, ask God to reveal the root to you. You know, let's not look at the symptoms. Those are there. They're going to be there until the root's gone. And even if you get rid of the symptom today, it'll come back if we don't deal with the root. So ask God. And the reason you're like, why don't I just ask God first? Because typically when you're in a dry season, your heart actually is turned from God just a little bit. Not that you don't love God, that's not what I'm saying, but you've actually turned from Him a little bit just within your actions because the Spirit is not being fed like it needs to be. And so by breaking double-mindedness, by coming out of agreement, by turning our heart fully to God, now we're in a better position to hear what He has to say. We can ask Him anytime, God, show me the root. But I'm going to tell you right now, if your heart's not fully turned to God, and if you're not ready for Him to reveal the root to you, you're not going to hear it when He tells you. He's going to be saying this, and you're going to be like, I don't know if that's the Lord. I'm not sure. You know, maybe someone comes up to share something with you, and like, they don't know what they're talking about, whatever. Well, maybe our heart's a little hardened because of the dry season we're in. Maybe our heart's a little hardened. Maybe we're not quite hearing like we think we can because of the season we're in. And I'm not blaming you. I'm not saying like, oh, you're a bad person or whatever, but we all kind of get that way sometimes. We don't want to hear what we don't want to hear sometimes. And so we got to get that heart fully surrendered back to God and then say, okay, God, reveal the root problem to me. Reveal what the situation, what is it? Maybe it's that life event. Maybe it's something traumatic. Maybe it was unchecked sin. Maybe, you know, I'm running too hard and not focusing enough on my personal devotion. I'm getting burnt out. You know, whatever it might be. But what is the root of it? Because once He reveals the root to it, then you get to do what's next. That's when you have to be obedient. You have to be obedient to whatever He shows you. It might mean coming out of relationship with somebody. It might mean asking for forgiveness from somebody or forgiving someone, letting go of something, allowing God to really be Lord, like really surrender a situation to Him. But you're going to have to be obedient with your next step and do whatever it is that He shows you. Otherwise, you're just going to keep circling the mountain. So that was what? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, number five. I have two more. I have 5 and 6. So number five, don't give up. Don't give up. If I could say anything to you, don't give up. I promise you, God is work. He's always working. The Bible says He works for those He loves and is called according to His purpose. He's working for us on our behalf. He's working to do good in our life. That's Romans chapter 8. We're more than conquerors. Come on, we're overcomers. And He is working with those that He's called according to His purpose. And that's you and me. We've been called according to His purpose. And so He's working this thing out. So don't you quit, because He's not quitting. Don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Sometimes that's just what we have to do. We have to fight a little bit. But it's in those moments that we're just reminded of God's faithfulness, because He's not going to leave you out there and let you hang out for dry. You know, my pastor growing up used to say this all the time. He would say, the biggest part of success is not giving up. You just have to keep showing up. And life is like that sometimes. I wish sometimes it happened easier. But the truth is, sometimes you just have to keep showing up. You just have to not give up. Keep showing up. Keep doing the thing that God is telling you to do. And it will break. I promise it will break. You'll have your moment of victory. You'll have your breakthrough moment. And then lastly, refresh yourself in the Lord. You need encounters, guys. So if you'll notice that what we've done here is I've addressed things that have to do with the body and the soul, our mind, will, emotion, and our body. I've been addressing those so that we can tend to those things. But now let's look at the Spirit. Refresh yourself. You need encounters with the Spirit. You need those moments of worship. You need those moments of deep prayer with God. You need those moments. You need to get yourself in church service where, you know, or whatever type, whether it's a small group or a church service or something, where the Spirit of God is moving. You have to put yourself in position to be refreshed. You're not going to, it's kind of like going to the pool in the summertime. You know, there's a whole lot of people that just like to kind of sit on the edge and dip their toes in, and they don't really get to experience the fullness of that experience. And I'm afraid that's what we do sometimes. We just kind of dip our toes in a little bit. But God's trying to want you to like jump in the river, you know, jump in there, get full, get refreshed, get yourself in a place where God can like do a work. And, you know, a lot of times we're wanting that quick work to happen, like quick work, like, God, can't you just remove this? And I'm thinking like, yeah, God can, but when's the last time you put yourself in a position where God was moving like that? Ask yourself that. When's the last time you put yourself in a place where God was moving supernaturally? Because I bet you the answer is a lot of times we haven't. We want God to move supernaturally, but there again, we have to take that step of faith and get somewhere. We got to get somewhere where the water's running, where God is pouring out, where the Spirit is moving. And I know we can experience that right there in our prayer closet, in our shower, in our car, in our room. I've experienced many moments where God poured out His Spirit and nobody else was around. But there's also been times in my life where there wasn't enough of me to, like, I was in such a dry place that I needed that nudge. I needed that kind of like that nudge to get into a place where I actually really didn't even have to make a choice. It was just happening, you know, and my spirit would gravitate towards it. And so sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you can do it on your own, but a lot of times you need that nudge. You need to get into a place where other people can join with you. And so, you know, if you're watching this, you know somebody and you're like, man, I know somebody that's going through all of this. Well, number one, share this with them. Try to get them to watch this. And secondly, be the nudge. Be the nudge in their life. Kind of nudge them along and say, hey, come on, do this. Hey, I was watching this thing the other day, had some good stuff in it. They're talking about this and that. And, you know, I'm going to nudge you a little bit. I want to nudge you. Come go to church with me. Come go to this event with me. Or hey, I'll watch this with you or whatever. You know, sometimes we need it. Sometimes we need to help other people, right? And so refresh yourself in the Lord. Jeremiah 31 and 25 says, for I will satisfy the weary soul and every languishing soul I will replenish. Come on. That's what he wants to do, is replenish the languishing soul. He will satisfy the weary soul. I promise you, God's got you. I promise you. Isaiah 43 and 19 says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, dry season sounds a lot like a desert to me. But there's promises in the word like this. I will make rivers in the desert. Come on, God will show up when you least expect it. God will show up like, you know, I'm giving you a lot of good steps here, and they're real. Like, these steps are real. Like, they will help you. There's a practical application to the word of God. But I also know this, that right now where you are, God can make a river in your desert. God can come supernaturally right there where you are. Right as you're watching this, there could be an anointing under the sound of my voice that as you hear this, something begins to flood and break off of you. I believe that. I believe God operates that way. He's not confined by proximity, but there can be an anointing. And I believe there's an anointing right now. I can feel that as I'm talking. I'm like, you know what? Somebody's going to get set free and get elevated out of that dry season right now. You're watching this and God has been speaking to you. Your heart's been like, oh man, I needed this. And now as I speak, it's like, boom, the supernatural is coming. The river is being carved out in the middle of your desert. And a way is being made where there seemed to be no way. And you're feeling that. And if that's you, if you're getting immediate release right now, and you're like, you know what? I have faith. I believe this season is over. Man, let me know so I can celebrate with you. Put it in the comments there or something. But yeah. So I don't know, guys. This was just in my heart. Like I said, I recently went through a dry season in my life. And these are some of the things, some of the lessons I learned, some of the things that God did for me. Some of the things God showed me. And so, you know, I think the best place to share from is from what we're going through personally. You know, a lot of times, you know, I preach every Sunday, I preach Wednesdays, teach a Bible school class, you know, and always doing something, right? And teaching, preaching. And a lot of times those are like, you know, we go through series, we go through systematic things like teaching on certain things. But one of the things I try to do with this podcast is like really come from the heart, like try to connect with you. Like, what is it that can help in just life situations? And so sometimes this is about different stuff, but this was really touched my heart to be able to share this. And I hope it helps somebody as they're navigating their dry season. I hope it helps somebody overcome. And, yeah, so, man, I just pray over you guys that God bless you and that God will see you through. I know he will. I just pray you let him. I pray you start making some changes and really seek the root of that. Really come out of agreement with that double-mindedness and let God really start moving. Amen. Come on. I hope you received that. I hope you received that. You know, I love what God's doing with Firebranded. And I love to hear testimonies of how God's touching people through the different avenues. And it's just really cool to get to be, you know, it's pretty cool to getting to do this. But anyways, so, hey, I just want to close with this. If this helped you, please take time to share it, like it, share it, subscribe to it, all the above, right? And so, and definitely share this if you believe it'll help somebody. And that would be an encouragement to me. And it would be awesome. So, hey, if you want to connect with us and see what God is doing, you can go to firebranded.me. We have a store on there. There's some merch on there. there's, you can connect. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify, iTunes with our podcast. And, yeah, so, and I pastor a church, Freedom Church. If you're anywhere in the KC Metro, hit me up, man. I'd love to meet you in person. Come check out the church, see what God is doing. And if you like to listen to sermons and stuff like that, you can go to freedompeople.net. Yeah, freedompeople.net, and find our YouTube channel on our website for the church and catch those every week. We'd love to connect with you there. But yeah, so, hey, thanks for joining me today. I don't want to go too much into all that stuff, but love you guys. Couldn't do it without you, doing it for you, and can't wait to see what God does next. Amen. Come on. I want you to say this with me just close. The best is yet to come. I believe that. Our best days are ahead of us. Your best days are ahead of you. God is going to bring you to place to realize your full potential for the kingdom. Come on, I believe that. He is raising up a firebranded generation that will shake the nations of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. We'll see you next time.